Take to the highway, won't you lend me your name? Your way and my way seem to be one and the same. Mama don't understand it. She wants to know where I've been.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Eric Reinert, and Trisha. And this is sounds like Bob Dylan, actually.
No, it is James Taylor.
Oh, that's what I meant. Of course. James Taylor.
James Taylor singing Country Road from The Way.
The Way.
Have you ever seen The Way?
No. How was it?
Martin Sheen and Emilio
Estevez.
Yeah.
And this hour brought to you by who, Joseph? Okay, I'll say it. Arrowhead Wealth Management, the best at creating and protecting your wealth. Founder and radio host Conrad Cogashell. You can hear him live every first Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Give him a call. Great financial planner, by the way, 623-888-3210. 623-888-3210. Conrad Cogashell, great guy and a great financial planner, along with James Taylor.
Absolutely. And so a lot of the songs that you'll hear throughout the rest of the show are from other hiking movies, long distance hiking movies.
Like what?
Like The Way.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
Yes. I think that you'd really enjoy The Way.
Which way? I think The Way would be way out.
But loose.
I saw that. Clint Eastwood.
Footloose.
Kevin Bacon.
Very
Keep
good.
Going. No, this is fun.
Revenge of the Foot.
That is Bob's Again.
Bob's Again.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds.
That would be nerdy and fruity.
Fruits, nuts, and flakes.
You know, I saw Jimmy Fallon, this guy. Who was that? Was it... I forgot his name, but he was famous.
All right, well... We'll get back to that thought in just a moment, Dave. But right now, we're really excited to speak with someone about the Appalachian Trail. Bob Serpaxlot Gabrielson, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so of course we are celebrating the release of A Walk in the Woods today on Breakthrough Entertainment. It just got 3 thumbs up from each of us here in studio.
Right.
And so before we get to the real life stuff, tell us your thoughts, because I know that you've seen the movie as well, right, Bob?
Yeah, I've got a hostel right next to the Appalachian Trail in North Georgia, and I took the staff all out on opening day, and we all saw it. And I was surprised. I liked it a lot. I had not gotten to see preview screenings of it that some other trail people had gone to see, and they didn't like it all that much. And I think that's because when you specialize in that field that a film is about, you tend to get all kind of caught up in the details of it and not just see it as a movie in general that they have to make to appeal to a general audience. And as a buddy movie with some trail inaccuracies, I thought it was a pretty good movie. I liked it.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, they did little things that trail people would get caught up on, like some for northbound hikers, some of the things they had were not in the order that they would really be in, one after another, or they had a few places that I think it was like the Colonnade restaurant and the inn and stuff, some of the stuff they stayed at that really aren't in trail towns, but it really didn't matter because it gave you the feeling. It was the same sort of little places and hotels and hostels that are on the trail. And another thing is, and I have a filmmaking background. I was a filmmaker for a couple of years. And I know how difficult it is to, they had in Roanoke, Virginia, on McAfee Knob, that was the one place where they had the crew had to literally take all the heavy camera gear and everything and hike it out to the location.
Oh.
And that's really difficult. So on a, you know, if you have a moderate budget movie, you can't be doing all that much of that. And so I understood why they had to do a bunch. They shot a bunch on a stage here in Atlanta and didn't show a couple some other things that hikers wanted to see. But with all of that taken into account, I thought it was a good buddy film.
So, Bob, let me ask you. This is Dave. You said you own a hostel?
Yes. I own the Top of Georgia Hostel and Hiking Center, which is 1/2 mile west of the Appalachian Trail at the last gap, the last major road crossing in Georgia before the North Carolina border.
Is it like the hostel from the movie Hostel?
No. And it's not like the one in the movie where Nick Nolte's on the top bunk and he crashes through on top of Robert Redford's face. We have this beautiful place where it was an old home that was in the perfect place. For 5 years, I kind of salivated over, you know, thinking this place is in a perfect place because there's two other places before us on the trail that are strategically placed where they start at Springer Mountain, and then a place shown in the trail 30 miles further north, Neal's Gap, and then right before you leave the state, 40 more miles, like the third jewel in the crown in Georgia, and I finally got it. The man died, it got foreclosed upon, and I had 24 volunteers painting the place in February, with the paint turning to pudding in 20-degree temperatures in order to keep my promise and a fundraiser to open it on March 1st when the thru-hiker season starts.
So what is that like? I mean, people come in, they pay like 1 day or 2 days rent, and is there food? And it's a house, so is there separate rooms or something? How does that work?
Well, this was a very interesting. The reason that it appealed to me so much is that the man modified the house. He modified the main house by popping the ceiling up very high, like cathedral ceilings, so it gives a big sense of space. So I always saw how that would be a good interpretive center, kind of a mess hall place with tables and a fireplace and a communal area. And then a smaller house, which was really at the time when he modified it, a big garage, he liked to have his friends up here. It was, in essence, basically a rich man's man cave. And he modified the garage and made it into a smaller house with some nice rooms and its own kitchen. And so we actually, surprisingly, we are now unofficially the busiest hostel on the entire Appalachian Trail. We're located at mile 69.7. If you think of Redford and Nolte when they started hiking north, they actually mentioned in the film what they were going to do in Hiawassee, and that's where we are. That's the name of our a town nearby.
Wow. People
come in, they pay a small price. It's like an inexpensive bed and breakfast for hikers.
Wow.
But when you're out in the weather, like you saw Nolte and Redford in the snow and stuff, even the simplest of accommodations with bunks and DiGiorno pizza are miraculous, and so they are very appreciative to be taken care of.
Has there been any one particular memory since you've owned it that you could talk about on the air that is unique or strange or funny or weird or whatever you would choose?
Has Christian Shaw's character gone there?
We have. It's down on the most of the people who do thru hikes, you can go from Maine and go south, or you can start down here at Springer Mountain in Georgia and go north. And traditionally, that's been the throng of hikers. We, just to give you an idea, we had 1,500 hikers just come through this facility that has 24 people that can fit into bunks and 12 overflow tents. We had 1,500 hikers come in here just in March and April alone. So it turns into quite a busy environment where I can't even go to the bathroom without people knocking on the door and saying, Sir Paxalot, can you go through my pack?
Wow.
The strangest thing I can remember was most of the time they have several days to get to us, and most people who start with like a 90-pound pack have been forced by pain alone to get rid of some of that weight. There was a young man that came in here in the spring, and he probably weighed like 125 pounds, Yeah, when we put his pack on the scales, which was complete with bow and arrow and lawn furniture. He actually had a Makita drill with the heavy battery on it and everything. I didn't know. I didn't even want to make a crack. I was thinking, is he going to go repair the shelters along the way? What's he going to? But it was like 90 pounds plus a bow and a whole set of Bear Grill knives. People don't know what to expect, so they take a steamer trunk full of stuff. And the size of your pack is commensurate with the size of your fears. So if you can last and not break yourself down, it shrinks in size.
Well, it's, I mean, each and every ounce matters. I mean, because I know, because I was joking about it in the last hour that I did the Havasupai Falls, you know, walk out to there, and that's just like 11 miles.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's nothing compared to the Appalachian Trail. Yet I, you know, quickly learned that, you know, a fork, that just one fork, you say, you know, maybe I don't need that. Maybe I can figure out something else.
they seem like fanatics to normal folk, as I'll put it. When they're cutting their toothbrushes in half, when they're buying little postal scales and fretting over a few ounces or a few grams from one stove or one other item to the next. But, of course, what it is if you multiply that times, you know, 70 things, mm-hmm. it's the difference between a 30-pound pack and a 60-pound pack, and it actually does matter. And the other thing is a lot of people from Florida, I've been a guide for a lot of years and a ranger, and so I've had a lot of clients from Florida and flatter states where I've taken them to the Appalachian Mountains, and there's no way to be prepped for it. One of the things, the only criticism I could give the movie really is whenever you see Redford and Nulty hiking, it's on relatively flat terrain. Even when he says, aren't there any flat parts, is it always up and down? I'm sitting in my office right now at the hostel looking out at the mountains in Georgia, which are smaller than the ones north of here. And there are lots of places where it's like 45 degrees, and you have to not psych yourself out by saying, I'll just make it to the next rock. I'll just make it to the next tree. And that's not portrayed in the movie A Walk in the Woods, nor was it in the book. So a lot of people come out here for a quote-unquote walk in the woods, and they're totally not prepared for the reality of the Appalachian Mountains the way they are.
Wow.
Runners and military especially. If you're at Parris Island and carrying a lot of ammo and stuff, you come out here not being what's called a gram weenie, not fretting over ounces, and you don't know how to hike mountains. And if you're a runner, you know exacts in mileage. You run around your Boca Raton, Florida neighborhood, and then when you come to these mountains, you say, there's no way I only just hiked 0.1 miles. So it's very mental.
Yeah. Well, and I think that kind of came out in the movie a little bit with the girl when she was saying, no,
it's
this many miles. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure I looked at the map and it's only this many.
That girl, one of the seminars I do here is Sir Paxilat's 10 Golden Rules of doing a through hike of the Appalachian Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rules involves having an open mind with people that I refer to as the Mayor McCheeses along the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And that girl in the movie is what I refer to as a Mayor McCheese. They're the people that know everything,
mm-hmm.
the people that will tell you how to do it and why you're doing it wrong. The people that make you feel bad, like the two guys that wanted to help them across the stream, you know, to be ready for that and just sort of accept it. Because they did have a good thing in the movie. The two kids that they hated and felt bad about trying to help them at one point were the same kids that rescued them later.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everybody, there's a saying on the trail, hike your own hike. I laughed when I saw that girl.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, for our listeners, we're speaking with Bob Sir Paxilat Gabrielson about the Appalachian Trail. Bob, how much of the trail have you hiked, and have you done the entire experience from start to finish in one hike?
I have. They call it a through hike when you hike the entire over 2,000-mile trail. It changes in mileage every few years. I hiked the entire Appalachian Trail in through hike means you do it within a year's time in 2003. And but being that I've led a lot of hikes on the trail for the Appalachian Trail Conservancy and for groups and stuff, someone told me the other day if you added up all the chunks I did with people that I did my own through hike once, and if you added up all the other chunks, I did it another 13 times.
Wow.
And I'm what's called a triple crown hiker, which means I through hiked the entire Appalachian Trail and then the Pacific Crest Trail, the one that's featured in the movie Wild. I through hiked that as well, which is 2,600 miles long. And then there's another one that's 3,100 miles long that goes through the middle of the country in the Rockies, and I through hiked that as well. It's called the Continental Divide Trail. I've been a survivalist. I was I'm on an episode of Naked and Afraid that I don't know if they'll ever put on TV. I don't know if it didn't go as dramatically as they thought because I'm pretty experienced. I've been a park ranger, Mountain Glacier National Park.
Tell before you go on. Tell us. I watch Naked and Afraid.
Dave's a big fan.
And yeah, So tell us. Just I guess we may have a few minutes left. But yeah,
well,
yeah.
And we have friends too that have told us that if they were on it, it would be
easy.
Boring because it'd be too easy for them.
But tell us, what was that first? I mean, is it what it seems like? The first time you meet the girl, you're both naked.
Yeah. And
how,
the thing is,
tell us about that
you
moment.
Guys, you guys know what reality TV series is all about.
Yeah, scripted.
The reality TV episodes that make it on The Tonight Show are the ones that are the most dramatic when real-life housewife of Atlanta is throwing a chair across the room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what they want, literally, is when they were talking to me on the phone, they literally do a psych assessment. They have a psych person talk to you, and they're trying to figure out what would drive this guy nuts.
Ooh.
And then they do that to all these people, and then they pair up the people that are going to drive
each other
craziest because they want drama. So then, I mean, it's the naked thing. Everybody think that's a big thing, but once you get past the naked thing and it's all about pain and the driving crazy part, that's the small thing, actually.
So how was that? I mean, did you still talk to the girl?
No. We made an arrangement that I was good at one sort of thing, she was good at the other, and we were just going to play it up for the show and just make it through. Even when you try to like get along with each other, the camera's like in your face, so it's hard to do that.
One last question: was she cute?
Yes, she was very cute. Ooh. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All my wife's friends were saying, "You're okay with being in the woods with some naked person?"
Like, oh, like, you're married.
I am. She was okay with that. She was like, "No, you don't know my husband. He's going to be naked and pissed off because he gets hungry in 3 hours, let alone 3 weeks."
Oh, well, sure. I do have to tell you, I was reading on your blog, and I know it's from 2012, but I think it's so apropos for what this movie entails, and you just put it in one simple paragraph. Life in the woods is much more black and white than in real life. Society and relationships are complex, and there are many shades of gray. Life in the woods demands that you respect nature, learn her rules, and adapt to them quickly, and many times there is no second chance. Once you understand these rules, though, the predictability of its unpredictability can be almost comforting compared to navigating a modern-day city or family holiday drama. Back in real life, the pain of a breakup or close one passing away lingers on for quite a while, and the emotions can be confusing. This is why so many folks find solace in the woods, and certain types of therapy are cropping up that include woods experiences. It's all in perspective, of course. I just think... That is so beautifully put and just sums up this movie and everything it represents as well. So great job.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Bob Serpaxalot, Gabrielson, thank you so much for joining us and helping us talk a little bit about A Walk in the Woods. We're all gonna do the trail, and we're going to see you out there.
Well, we actually have an Appalachian Trail school that if anybody out there has seen that movie and wants to, like, you know, get taught how to do it the right way instead of messing up too many times, they can go to AppalachianTrailSchool.com, and that's my one little plug I'll do. And thank you for inviting me.
Fantastic. That way you're prepared and you have a better opportunity to succeed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. What a great interview.
Sir, thanks a lot.
Well, we got another guest coming up after the break, so we're going to go ahead and say we've got we'll speak with director Don Argott with from Slow Learners. He's going to preview his movie that opens next weekend. This is probably a song that Bob Serpaxalot Gabrielson is very familiar with. Southbounders song, One More Mile to Go. The hiker song. When you think, you know, I remember when I was on the Havasupai Falls trek, I kept walking and everyone was saying, we're almost there. It's right around the corner. Little did we know, we still had several more hours to go.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Now, I'm hiking along just to sing a song. Don't know where I head up tonight. Saw lots of smiles on the trail yesterday. Yeah. And you know this trail's treating me right. That's right.